So if you have financial hardships, poverty is a significant driver, or just having low incomes and really having insecurity in terms of your finances, having food insecurity where you just don't even have access to enough food that's healthy.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, obesity rates in America are on the rise. Well, the Trust for America's Health has released a new report on American obesity rates, and the numbers are startling. 4 in 10 American adults are obese, and 23 states have adult obesity rates at or above 35%. 10 years ago, no state was at that level. The numbers are also rising among children and often marginalized groups. For a breakdown of the report, I spoke with Dr. Nadine Gracia, president and CEO of the Trust for America's Health. To begin with, you know, the numbers here are not good. The question I have is, you know, is obesity in America today worse than it has been in the past?
So, you know, rising obesity rates have been happening over in the country for the past couple of decades, and it is a public health issue. We've seen that actually over the past 20 years, rates have increased by 37% for adults and by 42% for children and adolescents.
Before we talk about some of the causes, remind us about what the associated risks of having obesity are.
Well, you know, obesity in and of itself is a common, but it's also a complex and chronic disease. It also can increase the risk of other health conditions like type 2 diabetes or heart disease, high blood pressure, stroke, and some forms of cancer. But there are many factors that contribute to obesity, and it's not solely influenced by personal behavior, but that are environmental factors, other health conditions, medications, our genes also contribute. But we really need to think about how to be able to address these rising rates of obesity that we're seeing really across the population.
How is obesity defined? What do we actually mean?
Well, what we're saying is that, you know, it's really about having a healthy weight. So this isn't about body image or body size. It's looking at really an individual's body fat and their body fat distribution. And that means that it's actually higher than the level that's considered healthy. And that when it's higher than what's considered healthy, then there can be certain health risks that exist for individuals and communities.
So you mentioned some of the contributing factors to this increase in obesity. Can you say more about what they are?
Yeah. So again, it's you know, obesity is a chronic disease, and it's determined really more than just individual healthy behaviors. There's also factors, other health conditions. There's people's environment. So whether you actually have access to affordable, healthy, and nutritious foods, whether you live in communities that actually have walking paths, biking paths that actually help to promote physical activity, having stressors in your life. So if you have financial hardships, poverty is a significant driver, or just having low incomes and really having insecurity in terms of your finances, having food insecurity where you just don't even have access to enough food that's healthy to live an active and healthy life. Housing instability, for example, such that you don't have a regular source of meals that are going to be healthy. And we also know that disparities exist in communities that have lower incomes and many communities of color. And that's really due to longstanding structural inequities that have existed in communities where they don't have as readily access to healthy, affordable, nutritious foods.
Two-part question. Are there populations that are experiencing higher rates of obesity than others? And are there areas of the country that are grappling with this at higher levels than other areas of the country?
Yes, we do see, one, that the rates of obesity are increasing across the population. And that really shows how it's a population health issue, that all groups are being impacted. But we do recognize and see from the data that there are certain populations that have higher rates of obesity. And again, really stemming from some structural barriers to healthy eating and to physical activity, inequities that exist in communities. We see that, for example, among certain communities of color, where we see higher rates of obesity, for example, in Black and Latino populations. We also see, for example, people who live in rural communities also have higher rates of obesity, for example, than people who live in urban and suburban communities. So that means in order to really address those disparities, we need to also focus specifically on those types of socioeconomic and structural barriers that exist in communities to be able to assure that everyone has the opportunity to have a healthy life and access healthy, affordable foods and engage in physical activity.
Now, this report also looks at the increase in childhood obesity. What are the impacts of that alarming stat?
Yes, we're also seeing that obesity is a increasing health issue for children and adolescents, for our youth. We now see that nearly 20% of all U.S. children between the ages of 2 to 19 have obesity. So that has been steadily rising. And having obesity in childhood, one, it increases the risk of having obesity as an adult, but even in having obesity in childhood, it also increases the risk of other health conditions like diabetes or high blood pressure. And so it's really important that we focus on prevention because it is, in many cases, a preventable diet-related disease. And so when we try to actually ensure that our youth have access to healthy nutrition, have access to physical activity, there are proven programs that can actually work to help prevent and reduce obesity.
I know this is a moving target in medicine, but this report is about societal trends and challenges. Is there anything that we understand today that individuals can do to control their own weight in a positive way?
Well, there's certainly, you know, the type of outreach and education that we can do for people to understand, one, to be how to be able to make informed choices about the types of foods that they're eating. But that requires also that we are providing information to be able to help supporting how to make those informed decisions. And we're seeing action, for example, by the Food and Drug Administration in consideration of front-of-package labeling to be able to educate consumers about what is in the foods. Is it high in sodium or salt? Is it high in sugar? So that they can make informed choices. You know, engaging in physical activity and the recommended amount of physical activity. But the point here that we're saying is that this is really just not only influenced or determined by individual behaviors, but that it's also important that we ensure that the systems and environments that our children and adults are in actually help to promote health and well-being. And so there really are programs and policies that can help do that, for example, by ensuring access to healthy school meals for all kids. We know that school meals actually are the healthiest meal for many children. And so assuring that that kids have access to those meals, that there aren't barriers, for example, for schools and school districts to providing those types of meals, which we actually had policies that supported that through the pandemic, but those policies ended. There's some states that have actually reinstituted those policies within their states. We should be seeing that across states so that, one, no child goes hungry, but that all children also have access to healthy and nutritious meals.
So what I hear you saying is, you know, Michelle Obama was onto something.
Well, the Let's Move initiative that you're referring to with regards to addressing childhood obesity, indeed, was an important initiative, really, to raising awareness and helping to remove some of those barriers as it related to addressing healthy nutrition and physical activity. You know, for example, we saw efforts like changes to the food packages for the food assistance program for infants and children and pregnant moms and moms who are breastfeeding. We actually saw that those changes by adding more fruits and vegetables and whole grains actually led to a decline in obesity among children who were participating in the program. What we need to do is really scale up our investments in proven obesity prevention programs. The challenge of what we see is that obesity is continuing to be an increasing public health issue for the nation, but we don't have the funding from the federal and state and local levels that actually is matching the size of that public health issue, because there are many programs that are proven programs, but they're not reaching every state. For example, there's a program called the State Physical Activity and Nutrition Program. There's only enough funding for that program to reach 17 states in the country. And yet we know that with obesity being a national public health issue, we need the funding to be there so that all 50 states, U.S. territories, all have access to that type of proven obesity prevention program.
Doctor, is there anything I didn't ask you that you would like to add?
Yes, I would say that, one, it's important that by providing healthy opportunities to be physically active, to engage and have access to healthy nutrition that's affordable for everyone, that's truly the only and equitable way that we will be able to see sustained progress in addressing obesity prevention. These are proven programs that can address and policies that can address this, and really assuring that everyone has access is a way for us to be able to see a reversal in these trends of rising rates of obesity across the nation.
We've been speaking with Dr. Nadine Gracia, who is president and CEO of the Trust for America's Health, which is out with a new report on American obesity rates. Dr. Gracia, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.